Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, race fans. How the hell are you tonight? Steve Billmeyer here, Big Sweat, hosting tonight's episode of Racing with Big Sweat. Glad y'all are tuned in. Glad to have you here. Hope you have a good time, because the rest of us sure are. So join us. Enjoy yourself. Have a cold beverage and kick back and relax for a little bit. Let me say hello to my crew on hand. In the control booth, I've got my friend, my partner, the man that makes all this possible, Mr. CJ Sports. CJ, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good. Glad to be here. I'm looking forward to another great show. I'm listening to some great guests. Just glad to be tuned in tonight.
Yeah, definitely always fun to be here. Glad you're here with us. How about Yellow Caution Flag? You there, buddy?
No, he's not in the studio yet.
Ah, damn. What's wrong with that boy? Well, we'll work around him. He'll come in, but then he'll leave his mute button on and talk for 10 minutes and nobody know what the hell he's talking about. While we got a minute waiting for our first guest to get here, what do you think of NASCAR's announcement that they're going to limit participation by the Cup and drivers in the Xfinity and Truck Series now, and especially limiting them out of the Chase? What's your feelings about that?
I like it. I'm one of those people, though, that I don't want the Sprint Cup guys on Friday and Saturdays. I just don't. But if, you know, I understand why they do it, I understand the sponsorship side of it, I understand it puts butts in the seats, I understand all the rest of it. So, you know, if that's what they want and that's how they want the series to run, that's great that they limited it and you know, we'll no longer see them during the chase or the race before the chase. My only concern is working around the rule, and what I mean by that is the way I read it, that anybody that has 5 years experience or more, you're limited to 10 races. So if I'm reading the rule right, does that mean that, say, Penske, they can have in their one car, they can have Brett Keselowski for 10 races, they can have Joey Logano for 10 races, and someone else for the other five or so races and basically fill a full-time ride with Sprint Cup guys anyway? Isn't that how I read that?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I looked at it. I mean, there seems to be a few loopholes in the rule.
Yeah.
You know, I think it said you were limited if you'd had 5 years experience, but experience was defined as trying to qualify, making qualifying attempts for all the races. So, you know, situation might arise where a Cup driver's out of a Sprint chase might choose to sit out one race to preserve eligibility by not trying to qualify for all the races. And I don't know, it just seems like there's a lot of loopholes in there to me. And we've argued this point before. I'm totally against it. I don't think it's good for the sport at all. Racing is pretty much beating whoever shows up. That's what you need to be known for. You don't want to be known as a driver who can just win when the Cup drivers aren't racing. You want to be known as a driver who can beat all comers, can beat anybody that shows up. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And that's just the way it is. I mean, I don't see a reason for penalizing a driver or a race team just because they're good. I mean, that just seems wrong to me. So I'm not in agreement with the rule at all, but I'm open-minded enough to wait and see what happens. But I'm definitely going to be watching to see how this works out.
Now, I'm curious, you've been around the sport for a very long time. Has this always been something that has happened in NASCAR, or is this something that trended more recently where Sprint Cup guys are running in both the other series. Well, I know that the Truck Series wasn't always there, but even when the Truck Series first came out, was that something that the Sprint Cup guys have always done, or is that something that has kind of picked up over the generations?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, Kyle Busch has the most Xfinity Series wins, but the second place guy is Mark Martin. Mark Martin ran a ton of Busch Series and Xfinity Series races, even though he was a Cup driver. And nobody complained then. Nobody had any problem with him running. People like Dale Earnhardt Sr., Harry Gant. There were a lot of crossover dudes that ran both series, and nobody had a problem with it. Even the drivers, you know, a lot of the guys back then, back in the day, were trying to build their Xfinity teams into something competitive. So you had guys like Jack Ingram and Sam Ard and Tommy Houston, that this is the level they chose to compete at. And, you know, their attitude was the same thing. You know, bring it. I just want to outrun everybody that shows up. I don't care who shows up. Just whoever shows up, I want to beat them. And that's always kind of been my racing attitude, too. And I just, you know, it never was a problem back in the 80s and 90s and the turn of the century and stuff. But now with certain teams like KBM and Penske's Xfinity Series program, it's gotten to where they're a lot more dominant than the earlier Cup guys were, and I think that just rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah, I was just curious. I had never thought about that before. I wasn't sure if that was something that, you know, all of a sudden just became an issue, or something that, you know, they've NASCAR and Sprint Cup guys never did before, and that's why it's an issue now. So I'm glad you was able to clarify that. And I didn't realize that Mark Martin, you know, was on that list like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, in his day, Mark Martin was pretty dominant, too, and he won a lot of races, but you didn't get a lot of feedback about it, I think. I don't know. I guess it was because those guys are so much more dominant now than the Cup drivers were back then that it just rubs people the wrong way. I've seen this deal referred to time and time again as the Kyle Busch rule, that's the reason they made it. And I think it's diluting the sport more than it's going to help it.
Well, I think we got one of our guests. I tried to see who it was, and they didn't respond, but they pushed one. So I think we got one of our guests in the studio.
Well, good deal. Dallas, is that you, bud? You there?
Yes, it is. It is me.
Good deal, folks. Let me introduce you to our first guest that's going to sit in with us tonight. Has captured the points championship this year in the Outlaw Super Truck division. Mississippi's own Dallas Mazingo. Dallas, how you doing tonight, bud? You doing okay?
I'm doing wonderful. About give out, but I'm just blessed to be alive and kicking.
There you go. Yeah, I've seen where you've got a lot on your plate right now, but let's get down to the important stuff first. We're all from the South, and you know the golden rule as good as I do. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Oh, tell us about your wife's new business venture while we got some time.
Well, that's exactly where we're at tonight. We've been here every night for the last week trying to get everything situated for our grand opening next weekend. She's always loved flowers. She has a floral degree and always wanted her own business. So we're opening everyone up. She does some great things. It's amazing what she can do with just a bunch of flowers she goes and gathers up, you know, and puts it together.
What's the name of her company?
Sweet Teas Creations. It's,
there you go,
have
folks.
A Facebook page that you can go to, and it's, and like I said, Sweet Teas Creations, and we have everything from, well, that's what I've been doing tonight personally, is cutting crosses out, making her some crosses. She decorates them up, and we have all kinds of different things.
Well, there you have it, folks. If you're in the Mississippi area or beyond and you need a good floral arrangement, you don't want to go to one of the national chain brands, you want something personal done, check out Dallas's wife's business, Sweet Teas Creations. It'll be well worth your trouble. On to the racing now. Congratulations on your championship this year in the Outlaw Super Truck. Good to hear that. Glad to see it. Is that a track championship or a points championship in a division?
It's the track championship, the points championship for my division. This is the, I guess, my third championship I've won there at Hattiesburg Speedway, you know, over
yeah.
the years.
Well, I don't have a script or any notes here in front of me. I should have looked this up. But... I shoot from the lip. I don't look up anything. I want to be just as surprised as everybody else at the shit that comes out of my mouth. So, you're at Hattiesburg Speedway. What steered you into the Outlaw Super Truck? What made you want to run in that division?
Because we can pretty much do anything we want to do. As far as our motors go, we're pretty much unlimited. I'm actually on a 380D stroke motor that's it's a 3500 stroke with, it's on alcohol, solid lift roller. We're just pretty much open, and I'm actually going to be in a new truck this coming season. I went and bought another. They've allowed clip cars to come into our class. Mine personally has been a full frame Monte Carlo. I just, you know, put the truck body on, but they've allowed the clip car, so I went and bought a clip car, and we're in the process now of swapping it over and putting the truck body on it and fixing to have it sandblasted and repainted and starting over with it and see how we're going to do with it for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I saw something on Facebook where you were acquiring a new car. And I was wondering, you know, if you were going to change divisions or you were going to convert it to a super truck. It sounds like, from what you've told me about the motors, those super trucks will definitely haul the mail.
They will. Like I said, we're so unlimited on. That's one thing I love about the class. Our main Tekken is. They punch our tires to make sure we have a 40 compound hardness and can't be under that. And that's pretty much all they check. We have to be on 3-link. You know, it's just a couple of rules that you have to go by. And it's not just trucks. We try to keep it. They're trying to keep it like an old school. You know, you kind of, as long as you don't have like a late model nose and body on it. We've got one out there that's a. He's like a 71 Nova is what his body style is. We got an old school Monte Carlo out there, a couple of Camaros, you know, it's just a different class.
Yeah, it sounds like it's pretty much a run what you brung type of deal, really.
It definitely is. And you hope you brung enough.
Yeah, definitely so. But that's what makes it interesting. That's, you know, that's the type of racing I like, just, you know, run a show, let everybody bring what they got, and best man wins. So, how many seasons have you got down there at Hattiesburg. How long have you been racing down there?
I've been racing steady since 2001. Pretty much every Friday night they're open, I've been there.
Now, that's dedication to the cause there. I take it you're very happy with it. What got you interested in dirt track racing? What's your background?
Well, my dad won his first race the night before I was born. So, yeah, I've been in it my whole life. I help a guy, Rusty Sanford. He runs sprint cars. He runs pro late models down at Mobile and Pensacola, and I help them. I pit on their cars, on his cars. And I all around love racing. I mean, there's nothing like being out there. I enjoy just as much sitting and watching, but, I mean, there's still nothing like the thrill of being out on that track. There's no way to explain it to anyone who's never been on the track.
Yeah, there definitely is. And it's, like you said, it gets in your blood, and it's just no getting out. You mentioned that you've crewed on some sprint cars and various other types of racing vehicles. Have you ever had any desire? Have you had the opportunity to jump in an open-wheel car, a sprint car, anything like that?
You know, I probably could, but I don't know. The sprint car is not my thing. I've run everything from a street stock to a modified to the crate late models. And I just, you know, I don't know. The sprint car is just not my thing.
Well, I can understand that. You said you're from a racing family. Said your dad was definitely a racer. How was that growing up? Were you a shop rat? Did you hang out at the shop all the time, every chance you got?
Absolutely. My dad used to tell me that I'd be in his way in my diaper under the car, you know, when he was working on stuff. So I've been out there my whole life. That's just what I do, you know. I mean, if I couldn't race, I'd be lost, I guess.
I know the feeling. I know exactly what you're talking about. Do you is racing all you do, or do you have a 9-to-5 job you work?
Well, it's not a 9-to-5. I actually work in the oil field, and
sometimes that ain't no 9-to-5 job.
So sometimes it's I'm allowed to be gone 2 or 3 days straight, you know, before I come back home. It just depends on how the jobs fall. But I actually mechanic for this oil field company, but I'm a jack of all trades. I drive the big trucks. I operate the equipment. You know, I just do whatever's got to be done.
You do all that in the oil field. You race and you do floral arrangements too, bud. You are definitely a jack of all trades. I guess that keeps you pretty busy. Do you have any hobbies in your spare time, or what little spare time you have?
I really don't. Racing's pretty much our only thing. Well, now let me rephrase that. My girls, I've got two daughters still at home, and
there you go.
They're into the cheerleading and the then basketball season rolls around. So, and my wife and I, up till this year, we've coached basketball, you know, their teams. And So, but they're getting older now. As a matter of fact, the youngest one's 12, and this is her last year in the elementary part, you know, and she'll be moving to the high school next year. So, we won't be doing the coaching part, but we'll still be doing the cheerleading on Friday nights with her, I'm sure.
Damn, dude, you do have a full plate. Any of your daughters interested in racing? Do they show any interest in what you do?
My other daughter, she's my stepdaughter, but I mean, I've raised her since she was 3 years old when my wife and I met. And I mean, she calls me daddy, you know, she's just soon my own as anybody's. But she did show some interest in it. And to look at her, you wouldn't think so. But I mean, as far as she's kind of they do beauty pageants, Miss Prissy and Miss Cheerleader and all this, but she still likes the cars. And we actually bought her a racing go-kart. She's 18. It's been 3 or 4 years ago. I was getting it ready, and we went to watch the go-kart races. And there was one of them had a pretty good wreck and flipped. That ended that with my wife and her right there.
That'll do it.
So she never even had to go on the track.
mama put her foot down.
If you're not in the South,
you got to understand, mama runs the show down here. I don't care who you are. She might stay in the background, but when she wants something done, all she's got to do is speak and everybody jumps. I've got my mom on my mind a lot today. Today's her birthday. She's 84 years old, and I hate to say it like this, but she's healthy as a horse. She gets around good.
Yep.
Her health's good. She'll probably outlive all four of her sons, but, you know, that's just the way it is. So while I'm on the subject, happy birthday, Mom. Love you, Miss Joyce. So you got daughters, no sons, just daughters, huh?
No, actually, we're kind of the Brady Bunch. Mine, hers, and ours, we have 9 children. And six girls and 3 boys. We have the rest of them are grown and gone, you know. But the boys just never really, I mean, you know, they would go with me, but they never really showed much interest in getting out there. They just, you know, some people love it and some don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes for an interesting Thanksgiving, though, when you get them all together, huh?
Yeah, it's a crowd when we're all together. As a matter of fact, I now have 2 grandbabies since I talked with you the last time. I have a boy and a girl, and I love them to death. You can spoil them in some home.
Absolutely. That's the great thing about grandkids. You can spoil them and then send them home. I'm very fortunate.
One thing I wanted to say is, talking about your the wives of the and all a while ago, I'm very, very blessed with the wife that I have. She can, when it gets about Wednesday or Thursday and supposed to be racing Friday night and I'm not out there getting the car ready or whatever, and she'll say, is there something wrong or we're not going? You need to be out there getting it ready. A lot of wives aren't like that, so I'm really, really, really blessed with the one I have.
That's good. It's hard to find a wife in racing that's not jealous of the time you spend racing, because it is something that takes up a good majority of your time, trying to keep your race car up during the week and race on the weekends. But it's, you know, you've got good support and it seems to be working out good for you, which is great. You know, I'm glad to hear that. It's always good to have the spousal support that your wife can bring you. At least you don't have to conflict about that. Everybody's on the same page. You said you raced at Hattiesburg is pretty much your home track. How much traveling do you do? Do you go outside of your area and go to some big shows at other tracks?
We do. There's only really 2 tracks down here that run us on a weekly basis, which is Hattiesburg and LA 36 down in Louisiana. And I did venture off one night this season down to Louisiana, and I picked up a win down there that night.
There you go.
You know, there's a couple of other tracks. Why Not up in Meridian, and then there's Jackson up in Jackson Speedway. They run us a few times. Jackson run us once for $1,000 to win, and then Meridian run us a couple of times this season. So we do venture off a little.
Well, it sounds like when you do pretty good. Does that motivate you to want to try to run more different tracks, or do you just kind of stick with what you got?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll let you know it. I love going to Hattiesburg every Friday, but it's nice, you know, to get away somewhere different every now and then. And a lot of the people that are at Hattiesburg on Friday nights goes down to the fan bases, as what I'm talking about, goes to down to Louisiana also. So you know, your same fans are down there. And a lot of the people do venture off up to Meridian and Jackson. So you know, you have a pretty good following when you go off like that. It's always good to have, you know, people you recognize and friends with.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm sitting here looking at a picture of your truck. You've driven other divisions. Is there much difference in the way that Outlaw Super Truck handles as far as downforce and sticking it to the track, or is it more all the same, you know, regardless of what body style of what your division you're running in?
The body styles, you know, really to me doesn't make a lot of difference. Now we're on the 14-inch aluminum wheels with the late model tires, so we have plenty to be able to put to the ground. Now the other deals like the modifies and such that I drove, you know, they're on the little, they've got as much motor as what I have, but then you're on an 8-inch wheel. So the modifies a whole different animal to grab a hold of than the when you're on the big tires.
Yeah, it sounds like the modified requires a lot of throttle control to get the horsepower to the tires and get the tires planted. Does that affect your driving style any like that? Are you real good at working the throttle, or is your main strength just being able to dominate, to be able to run as hard as you can lap after lap and see who's there at the end?
Well, in the outlaw, you can, when you run off in that corner and you feel the car set, you can pretty much, you can feel it in your butt, I guess you could say, that when it sticks. And with those big tires and all, you can just, you know, lay it onto the floor with it and come on up off the corner. Now, the modified, you have to finesse it a little bit. You can't just jump back off in the throttle or you're going to blow the tires off. But, here a few weeks ago at the Street Stock Nationals up Meridian, I actually did a double duty that weekend. I drove my outlaw truck and the modified in the same weekend. And so, you know, you get out of one and get into the other, you have to just pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, you got to know what you're doing there. You got to have some experience. Which type of driver are you? Are you a finesse type driver, or are you more just a grind and pound it out type driver?
Well, it depends on how the track is that night. I've won races just slinging in the corner, burp it a little bit, and up on the berm and just hammer back down in it. And I've won races where I had to, you know, that wasn't there. The track was a little slicker, and you just have to, you know, find you. What I have to do is a lot of times is, you know, find my groove. You're going to run two or three laps there to get a feel of what the track's got. And some nights you might have to just ease around the bottom, and some nights you can just let her rip and really get after it.
With your experience, I take it you're pretty good at reading the track. That's something that's really kind of caught my attention about dirt racing. I'm an asphalt racer originally, but to be able to read that track and to determine what the traction level is, whether it's dry slick or whether it's heavy or whatever, and how your car is going to perform, does that mostly come from just experience? Is that where you get that knowledge from?
Yes, sir. Like at Hattiesburg, for instance, run there every weekend, so I pretty much know what that track's going to do. Sometimes they'll throw a kink in us and put a lot of water on it or not as much. And, and this season, the track service is actually fixing out to put new dirt on it, so it kind of changed on us this year. But, you know, you just, when you go out in your heat race, the way they do it at our track is the old-style way. We go out and hot lap, then we go out and qualify. And the heat race, they invert you, the pole sitter's on the rear. So usually if there's a big field of cars, I'm on the pole, you know, so I start on the rear, I'll drop back and kind of use that heat race because it doesn't pay any money and it doesn't, you know, really benefit you. So there's no use in really getting up in there and battling hard. Now, if I see the opportunity, you know, to go on up through there, I will. But you just kind of I kind of feel the track out at that time. Sometimes there's a lot of difference people don't realize in a slick track and a greasy track. And you know, you have to find that fine line in the middle.
Well, judging by your record of wins and your championships and everything, you've pretty much got that figured out, I would imagine. Let's take a minute while we got some time and give shout-outs to anybody you want to recognize that's helped you or helps you now, or just somebody you want to say hey to. Take your time and let them know you're thinking about them.
Well, first and foremost, I'd love to thank the good Lord above, because without him, you know, none of this is actually possible. But he's blessed me this year especially. Last year I picked up a new sponsor, Mr. Jimmy Smithy. We call him Smitty. He's an old racer from back in the day up north, run the old sprint cars, modifies and such, and he moved down south down here, and he started coming to Hattiesburg, and we just happened to meet up, and he jumped on board with me, and he has really, really stepped up to our program. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have the equipment now that I do have. So he's my main guy. And a bonus of that is we're really good friends now. We've become great friends through this. You know, I made a great friend through racing, you know. I have Holyfield's Record Service, who helps me out a good bit. It's lifetime friends of mine, grew up with them. Hog Heaven Barbecue is my food suppliers, man. I go by there every Friday with some great barbecue ribs and sausage and chicken. So if anybody ever swinging through Laurel on 59, they're right there at the airport exit, and it's a great place to eat. I have Greg's High Performance, who helps me out with some parts here and there. And I'm trying to think of Getty Street Service. He's one of my best friends, and I actually met him through racing also. TJ Paul with HP Graphics out of Jackson, Mississippi. Anybody who needs a wrap, he does a wonderful job. Super nice, good Christian guy, and he will do you right. And he does great wraps. I mean, you know, well, if you're seeing my truck there, you know. I'm not bragging by no means, but you know, he does a wonderful, wonderful job.
No, that's a sharp looking truck, definitely. Well, they're good people to have, and like you said, you met most of them through racing. So that's for drivers out there looking for sponsors. That's one of the ways to do it. Meet guys at the track. Meet people that are interested in racing, and you never know how interested they might be. They might be interested enough to put their name on the side of your race car and everything. So that's a good deal to have. I'm glad for you to got that. Let folks know how they can keep up with what you're doing on social media, and let us know what you got going on for next year.
Well, like I said earlier, we're going to the new chassis. We got a Warrior chassis with Camaro front clip, and that gives. And the reason I'm going to the clip car. My truck is, like I said, actually a full-frame Monte Carlo chassis, and it's got stock full bars on the rear. Well, I don't have the adjustment that these, you know, clip cars that are coming in our class now have. So as far as on a tacky track, I can run with them, you know, but once the track gets slick, I'm so limited on my adjustments that I can't keep up with the real slick track. But like I said earlier, we've got the new car, and we've gotten started on it, and we're hoping for another championship next year, and we might even try to run both the local tracks here Friday and Saturday nights, if we can pull that off, and maybe pick up a dual championship would be wonderful.
Yeah, that would definitely be great too.
And you can keep up with me on, I have my personal page is, of course, Dallas Mazingo on Facebook, but I have the Mazingo Motorsports also. So you can follow me really on either one of those.
Cool deal. I try to keep up with what you got going, because I've talked to you before, and I'm very interested in the type of racing you do. You know, the Outlaw Super Trucks is something new to me, and not something I've had a lot of experience with, and I'd like to, you know, I like to learn about them. I like to learn about all types of dirt racing. tell me earlier you run a 3-link rear suspension.
That is correct. We own the 3-link with the J bar, and the only difference in ours is usually when you have the 3-link and on the clip cars you run the coilover shocks, which your springs are actually on your shock. But
yeah. In
our class, one thing we have to do different is we have to mount 5-inch conventional race springs on top of the rear end on weight jacks. We cannot run the coilovers. So that, that changes us up a little bit from what people usually do with the 3-link. But it seems to work out pretty good. Everybody's been converted over to that. That has converted over to it, has done really well with it. So, and you were speaking earlier about, what I like about the Outlaw class versus, and I'm not knocking, say, the Neesmith class, the Neesmith Street Stocks, which is a very competitive class. And, they have a lot of good guys. But you have so many little small rules as far as your body has got to be. It's kind of like the super late models. You got a certain pattern you got to go by on them body rules, and there's just so many little things that'll get you kicked out in a heartbeat, that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a fan of the run what you brung. You don't need that many rules. Some nights it's good to have them, some nights it isn't. The thing that the thing that I remember most, we ran a 3-link car a lot on asphalt, and asphalt drivers don't really like a 3-link car. They like the truck arm car better. They said that it always feels like the 3-link car is going to jump out from under you, especially when you get back on the gas, as opposed to the smoother transmission from the long arm truck arm type car. Have you noticed any difference in that, or is there a difference in them on dirt as opposed to asphalt?
There is. 3-link it's not really the 3-link. I guess the J-bar, is what really does it. If a J-bar can make a car really super tight, especially if you've got too much angle in it. So you have to, again, find that happy medium in there. But I've noticed this season.
Hold on, that's it. My smoke alarm going off. I'm burning the house up. yeah, folks, this is live radio. This is what you get to deal with here.
This is real time.
Yeah, that's the signal my dinner's ready, I guess.
a little too much ready, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we're working toward well done more than we are rare tonight.
What I was going to say was that I've noticed this year we've had two or three clip cars that's already come in and started running with us, and at the beginning of the night when the track was heavy, and I could put all of mine to the ground, I could actually I could outrun the clip cars, but like I said earlier, also once the track slicked off, that's when they would really come in and really be able to get a hold of the track, and my truck, I tried something a little different on this this year with the seeing how it was doing in the slick. I had so much trouble getting the bite on a slick track. I went to a real tall left rear spring, which, of course, loads up the left wheel. But I figured out real quick like that if you've got still got a little bite out there with that heavy spring, a couple of races, man, I was toting the left front tire so high in the air that I just about couldn't. It gets real erratic when you get it like that. And, and I actually had my left rear shock break one night, and I run off in the next corner when it broke, and I didn't have a limiter chain on the left rear. And when I stood in that throttle and it done its rearing up, it just about went over on its top. It reared up so high. I wound up having to pull off because I couldn't do anything with it.
That's amazing. That's pretty impressive. excuse me. So you've got the experience at these different tracks. What do you do if it's in, say, the middle of the summer and you're looking at scheduling something for the weekend coming up and you know, like, you know how the track's going to be at Hattiesburg, you know it's going to be slick or anything. Does that influence you to possibly look at another track to go run, to run a track where your truck might handle better?
No, not really at all. Because to me, if I'm pretty sure it's going to be slick that night, you know, that puts more of a challenge to me as a driver to be able to, I want to be able to drive on any condition. You know, I don't want to avoid this one because I know that I can run better on the other one. I still want to go to this one, you know, and to show what I can do on that.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, you want to be good no matter what the conditions. You just want to be good week in and week out and be consistently good. But that's cool. That's really cool. I'm really enjoying talking with you, Dallas, because you're giving me a lot of information, stuff that I didn't know. And this is one of the reasons I do this show is because I'm not that familiar with dirt racing. I'm more familiar with asphalt racing, and I get to talk to dirt drivers and learn things. I learn stuff every week. So I do appreciate you coming on, and I do appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us tonight and sharing what's going on in your life. As far as racing goes, good luck with the new car. Do you anticipate anything different than what you're driving now? Do you anticipate being better, or are you looking at another learning curve where you're going to have to learn this clip-type chassis?
Well, I've got experience in the late model chassis, so there's not a whole lot of difference. I believe I'll adjust to it pretty well. One thing I am looking at, they have started a new Neesmith has started a new late model class, which is the 602 crate motor class. You know, they already have the big the 604 class. Well, now they're doing a 602, and we are as a matter of fact the Why Not track up here in Meridian has actually, I seen today where they have officially announced that they're running that class this year, and I'm kind of looking at getting into that class also. It runs on Saturday nights where I run my truck on Friday nights at Hattiesburg, so that wouldn't be a conflict. And I'm really thinking about that. They don't run our trucks, our class, up at Why Not ever, you know, only a couple of times a year, and I love running that track. It's Hattiesburg is kind of a small quarter, tight corners, where Meridian, they call it the House of Hook, and it's kind of more like a bowl. You're in to be quick up there and to win races, you got to be able to never lift your foot off the throttle. You go out on the track, especially qualify up front, you got to be able to, when you come on the track and take that green flag, you lay your foot on the floor, and when you take the checkered two laps later, you would pick your foot up. So it's a wonderful track to drive. I love that track.
It sounds like it. Who builds your motors?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Mr. Bobby Sanders, it's a local guy that him and my dad were real good friends, and he just helps me out tremendously on my motors. Builds great pieces. I never really have any motor issues out of anything that he builds. Man, he's really fair on his prices. And he calls his engines the old fart racing engine. So he's a good old guy. One thing one thing I want to throw in there is about the group of guys that I race with. Like I said, our class, there's only two tracks that run us weekly. And then when you have another show, it's the same group of guys that goes off to these other places. And just to show you what kind of friends we are and what kind of camaraderie we have, I busted a transmission a few weeks ago, And we had one more race at Hattiesburg, and one of my biggest competitors, he called me and says, "Man, I got another transmission laying here. Come get it. It's fresh. It's just been rebuilt. Get it and put it in. You know, run your couple races with it, and then bring it back to me when you get through." You know, we all help each other out. It's just a great group of guys.
Yeah, that's what a lot of non-racing people don't understand and they don't quite get. But racers will jump up and help another racer in a heartbeat, will help them to outrun them. They will tell
them
to make their handle better, or give them, you know, loan them parts and stuff to make them run good and everything. And that's the camaraderie that you get in local short track racing is just, that's one of the biggest draws, you know, that everybody gets along. Occasionally you have temper tantrums and stuff, but for the most part, everybody gets along. Everybody tries to help each other out. And you know, in your heart, if you help somebody out, that if the situation ever reverses and you need some help, they'll come help you, you know, without question. And that's just the great thing to me about local short track racing is, like I said, the camaraderie that comes from racing with the same guys week in and week out. That's, you know, non-racing people have a lot of trouble understanding that, but that's the way it is. You know, you won't see a stick and ball player telling another player on another team, you know, how to get better so they can beat you.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you know, it's not uncommon. It's not that big a deal for a racer. It's just the way racing is. So anything else you got going on, Dallas?
I guess that's about it. Just our everyday grind, you know, just living our life.
Well, I really enjoyed talking with you tonight. Like I said, I've learned a lot. I'm impressed with what you do and everything, especially now that I know that you work in the oil fields and you are present in your daughter's lives and going to their basketball games and cheerleading and stuff like that. I mean, that's just really cool. I'm really impressed, Dallas. I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you again tonight.
Well, I always enjoy being on your show. I got to brag on my daughters one more time.
There you go.
Like I said earlier, they do beauty pageants. And here a few weeks ago, They're one's 18 and one's 12. They're in different divisions. And we went to a local pageant here in Laurel, our hometown. And now they are, my oldest one is, let's see, what's her title? Miss Laurel. And the younger one is Junior Miss Laurel. And that qualified
them
to go to the Mississippi State pageant. So that's another chunk of money out your wallets right there is in bedgum pageant dresses.
Oh, that's pretty good. You talk about your daughter winning beauty pageants. I got to ask you, what kind of dad are you when somebody shows up and wants to take your daughter out on a date?
Well, I usually get there and sit there and clean in my gun or something, you know. But when I
there
do,
you
I
go.
Have to say, my 18-year-old daughter, she has met a fine little fella, Blake Lowry. He's my right hand man at the track. They've been dating, I guess you could say, for about 3 years, I guess. And he is a super great guy. Got a good head on his shoulders, and he loves the racing just as much as I do. So we're blessed on that part. And the other one, the 12-year-old, she might as well not even think about it yet. she has a so-called little boyfriend, you know, at school, and the local fair come to town a few weeks ago, and you know, we took him and her to the fair, and they had them a good little time, but I pick on them and give them trouble now. I don't cut them no slack.
Yeah. Oh, I always like the way Jace on Duck Dynasty handled it. Guy come to date his daughter, and he'd toss him a shotgun shell and tell him it travels a lot faster after midnight.
That's exactly right.
that gets the point across. I was that way with my daughter when she was that age. I had a T-shirt made that said, "I'm not afraid to go back to prison."
Yeah.
I used to wear that when these guys would come
that says,
for date.
I got one that's got DADD, which stands for Dads Against Daughters Dating.
Yep. Yep, I know what you mean. Well, Dallas, it's good. Like I said, it's good talking to you, bud. Good luck in 2017, and keep posting on Facebook so I can keep up with you and stay in touch, and we'll get you back on before the season starts in 2017, see how the new truck's coming and what your plans are.
All right. Well, like I said, I appreciate you having me on, and I always enjoy sitting here chatting with you, and just call me anytime. I'll be glad to talk with you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
And tell your mother I personally said happy birthday to her.
I will. I'm going to call her after I get done here with the show. I talked to her earlier, but I want to talk to her one more time before the night's out. Folks, this is Dallas Mazingo we've been talking with. And this guy is a shoe. Trust me, he can drive. So get down to the Mississippi, Louisiana area. Check him out if you're in that area and you want to see some racing. It'll give you somebody you can pull for. He is definitely one of the hot shoes in that area. Dallas, thanks once again, and good night, bud.
Yes, sir. Good night to you.
All right. Thank you. Well, I think that's going to about wrap it up for us tonight. I'm sorry my other guest didn't get to call in, but he's in Charlotte at the World Finals, so he might be tied up. So I'll try to get Rocky Warner on next week or at a later date and see. I'd like to get him on next week and find out how he does this weekend in Charlotte. So we'll try to get that hooked up. While I've got a moment, if you want to keep up with me, if you want to follow me, and I don't owe you money, you can go to Twitter, where I'm at Big Sweat 4, the NASCAR heartbreaker and home wrecker. I don't get on Twitter much, but I try to. On Facebook is the easiest way to find me. I have a racing group, NASCAR and Other Racing, 7,000 members strong. We do group race threads for all the televised races, be it Sprint Cup, Xfinity, Truck Series. We do Formula One. We do Indy Cars. We do NHRA, World Outlaw, Late Model, and Sprints. We talk about it all. So if you're a race fan like I am and you just want to sit down and talk racing with somebody without having to listen to a lot of driver bashing and profanity and things of that nature that we don't allow, come check us out at NASCAR and Other Racing. We'd be glad to have you there with us. On Thursday nights, I'm always here doing Racing with Big Sweat at 9 o'clock. Also on Monday night, I do a show with my producer, Mr. CJ Sports, Rubbin is Racing, where we talk about the previous weekend's cup racing, the upper tiers. We talk about cup racing on Monday night. We talk about local short track racing on Thursday night. So if you're into racing, hook up with us. We always have a good time, and we always have interesting guests. Mr. CJ Sports, let everybody know what you got going on this week.
Make sure you guys, first of all, tune in tomorrow night here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network for Hot Laps with Stats. They got race owner Ann Young and driver Kyle Edwood joining the studio. I'm very excited about that tomorrow night. Also, make sure you guys catch the 110 Nation Sports Show every Monday through Wednesday, 7 to 10 p.m. We have some great guests this week. Allie Kern of Rev Racing. We had Hope Hornish, Sam Hornish's niece, on the show last night.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys check that out. I got to thank Fit for Life, Snafu Seasoning, I-95 Sports Network, and Maha Radio to help make all this possible. And make sure you guys check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports, and check us out on Twitter at 110 Nation.
Definitely will do that. If you want to talk sports, any kind of sports, check out Mr. CJ Sports and the 110 Nation. They'll keep you informed. They keep me up to date on what's going on. And I would like to mention, since you mentioned him, my sponsor, Snafu Seasoning, and the man behind that, Mr. Jimmy Haywood, a great friend and a great guy. Check them out at snafuseasoning.com. That's S-N-A-F-U seasoning. It's a really good grill rub, a good combination of spices, no preservatives, all natural, and it'll make your taste buds tingle, I promise you. Well, that's going to about do it for tonight. We're going to wrap this cattle drive up and get on back. My dinner's ready. I see my daughter fixing the plate now, so time for me to go. Thanks again for tuning in, people. We do appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk at you next week. Have a good night.